不忍受。
诸僧难及
须陀洲揭阇那摩迦
诸般若波罗蜜多。
大愿世尊皆彼所能解，
如来遍知三界诸不可思议
处，
诸僧难解
决诸难处，皆诸摩那迦诸般若波罗蜜多所解。
大愿世尊
皆彼所能解，
如来遍知三界诸不可思议处。王老师，马上那给他当年给三界谈几句态度。토자라나메 바이나다바 조베 산지지 공부를 무시 찌니지 토브를 샤구 대토브를 샤유이 체도 담배 교회를 무지 세냐비 근로 산지지 샘지 세 샘백 권은 샘브를 겨
Let us cultivate the altruistic motivation seeking complete enlightenment for the sake of liberating infinite, kind, mother sentient beings. With that kind of bodhicitta motivation or bodhisattva's attitude, that we should all participate in this teaching. I believe that all of us aspire to accomplish a complete enlightened state or Buddhahood in order to benefit both self and others.
Zobi sanji ji gomba toba sheba ta kyo yang kabu ki dhugu yore Sonsa ta dinti ki anni dhiju ki chwe ten yata mangal wata Mangchui bata yang taba ki dhugu yore was
In order to reach complete enlightened state we also need to find unmistaken path or spirituality. And the kind of path that, you know, exactly, if you will, lead us to the complete enlightened state. It does not take us elsewhere, or it does not confuse us on the way somewhere else, but it's the kind of perfect path, if you will, that connects us to the ultimate spiritual destination.
As
Buddhist you know, practitioners, we need to recognize that the path and the teaching or spirituality that we follow, of course, it's originated with a historical teacher or Buddha, Shakyamuni. He is the source of our spirituality. He is the founder of our path.
That thing in under the Dhammacharya, any Duska Nani, any Jagar, Ta Pindrita, Tana Yeta, Page Kavat Sushin, Pay Rangi Tayelam, Parta Juba, the Parma Shipata, any Juba Yanka, which Tayo, which can give us good words.
We also believe that it is very important, and in a sense, it is a must. As an essential quality, that is, there should be uninterrupted transmission of the lineage, beginning with Shakyamuni Buddha, who is the historical teacher, and the teaching that has been passed down uninterruptedly in an unbroken lineage transmission through a series of greatly realized panditas or the realized scholars of India, as well as Tibet, all the way to our own fundamental, or what we call root spiritual guru.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of unbroken lineage is you know, essential for spiritual development and accomplishment.
Mm-hmm. tā kātā tēngi māngbōchī yōrē, tā tā dzūk tāma lōkē, gōndē shīngi mā lōpān tēngkēng rāṅ tā yōrā mī pārāt bāndō jībā mā shībā shī yōrē shē. Tā kātā kēchī yō kārē zanā, tā rāṅ tūdī yōrē shē.
So the point I'm trying to make here is that spirituality or the teaching that we are following, it comes to us from Shakyamuni Buddha through unbroken lineage transmission through the lineage masters. And Buddha's teaching consists of what are called sutras or discourses, ka in Tibetan, and tenju, shastras or commentarial treatises by great Indian masters. And the unbroken lineage transmission of unbroken lineage transmission to one's root on the fundamental guru. Okay, so all that is very important, but something needs to be fulfilled from the other side. You know, there's not much perhaps we could do ourselves. Now, in addition to that, what's really important is, you know, the role of us in all this. You know, what is our role and our importance in spiritual development? Our historical teacher Shakyamuni Buddha has made it very clear in his sutra or discourse, and as Geshe-la quoted the lines from his memory, basically Buddha said, I have revealed to you the significance and the meaning of liberation or nirvana, you know, what it means and how to get there. Now it's all up to you, you know, to be able to realize that your attainment of nirvana or liberation is just dependent on you only. It is not dependent on somebody else.
That's the kind of reason, Thapa, Yenla Kaliyam, Rangla Kaliyam, Rangla Thapa Te, Rangla Thoje Thapa Te, Rangla Becho Sene, Ta Duggu Gugaris.
So what does it mean that your nirvana or liberation, enlightenment, really it is dependent on you, not somebody else? What does that really mean? What it really means is that you know, for each of us to be able to realize our enlightenment or nirvana, it depends upon our own personal individual efforts. You know, so we, each of us as an individual, has to make that effort to be able to get there or to be able to actualize enlightenment. Tharva is a technical Tibetan term, which is the translation of Sanskrit term nirvana or nibbana in Pali. And so what does that really mean? As I often explain to you, there are different levels of nirvana, if you will, freedom or liberation. And there is what we call, you know, great nirvana or liberation, enlightenment. Then there is the, so to speak, personal or individual nirvana or liberation.
Dini separa pangbi thawa separa, thawa chenpo tari, sanjaya kumpan tari, ta kanji thawa chenpo suna sanjaya kumpan tari. Sanjaya kumpan thawa shepa la, dini separa pangbi tang gobe denpa suna, ta dini separa pangko yoris.
In order to actualize what we call great nirvana or maha nirvana, which is the same as complete enlightened state or Buddhahood, if you will, we must get rid of the two types of mental obscuration to personal liberation called delusions or kleshyas in Sanskrit, and obscuration to omniscience. And so once we abandon those two types of mental obscuration, we actualize a state, perfect state of abandonment. You know, having abandoned those two things, something is accomplished, you know. And that is what we call, if you want the technical term, that's called the true state of cessation. Because we have ceased, if you will, the two types of mental obscuration for good.
Mm-hmm. taba yin la jam la jam la gale pa sun san ni rang ge diba ni ding de separ pang go re te pang ge ta le ngi de rang yo pang re te diba ni pa sep shen te she ka le ngi de rang yo ge de re.
So now going back to the statement from Buddha, who says like your nirvana is dependent upon you, nobody else. Now if we explain this in terms of a complete enlightened state or Buddhahood, now what does that mean is that each of us has individual or personal responsibility to purify our mind of the two types of mental obscuration. That is an individual responsibility. That is where we as an individual need to make efforts. So when we do that, then we actualize complete enlightened state. So that all depends on us as individuals, as persons, not on somebody else. Now you ask, okay, so if it is an individual and personal responsibility to get rid of, to purify our mind of the two types of mental obscuration, okay, how can we go about that? What do I really need to do in order to do that job, if we use the today's term? So here, we need to really keep in our mind that, number one, we need to cultivate what is called bodhicitta, the altruism, the altruistic mind of enlightenment. And we need to combine that with, or integrate that with, what we call the perfect view. The perfect view meaning the wisdom that realizes the ultimate nature of phenomena as it is. And that ultimate nature of phenomena is called emptiness, shunyata, sunata. Now you ask, what do we need to do or understand in order to realize the emptiness, the ultimate nature of all phenomena? This is where we need to study and understand what is called, actually realized through study, the meaning of dependent arising, in Sanskrit called Pratit Samutpad, the intention in Tibetan. So what does this mean, dependent origination, dependent arising? So now you ask what we need to do in order to experience bodhicitta, the altruistic mind of enlightenment. Of course, all the things that we are talking about here really involves that we need to transform our mind. Okay, how to change our state of mind. And that is a key thing here, inner transformation. So that being said, so here we have two meditational techniques or methods to cultivate bodhicitta, altruism. One is called six causes and one result, meditation techniques. And that's the one way to go to cultivate bodhicitta. But another technique is called equalizing and exchanging self for others. First you equalize self and others, then you exchange self for others. So through those two meditational techniques that we can cultivate the altruism. Whichever of the two meditational techniques that we follow or adopt to cultivate bodhicitta, because both are equally effective in sense, but what really we need to understand, what is involved in both these techniques, is that we need to work with our own self-centeredness, selfishness. Yeah? We need to get rid of that, have to let go selfishness, and we need to cultivate the attitude of cherishing others, really caring for other beings.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for any of us to experience genuinely bodhicitta, the actual bodhicitta or altruism, before that we must cultivate great love, maha maitri, and great compassion, maha karuna. Without cultivating, experiencing these two positive attitudes, we cannot experience bodhicitta. In other words, these two attitudes precede this, you know, they must go before we actually experience bodhicitta.
That samba chimba de niji maran dire seva sepala ta singi kane chingi na suri me bata ne ne ba jeda sane papang ne ta pemba de ya ta santang ba.
So then you might ask, so what is involved in cultivating great love and great compassion? These are all positive attitudes oriented towards others. Okay? So what is involved in cultivating these attitudes is that, number one, we have to learn to, if you will, learn to be unbiased, you know, in our the way we relate to other beings. You know, we cannot discriminate among or between sentient beings as this and that. Okay? We have to learn to be able to treat everybody as being equal in an unbiased manner. And so with that, then we have to learn to help them in whatever way we can or benefit, and learn not to hurt anyone. For all of these things are involved in cultivating great love and great compassion. Great compassion or mahakaruna is, if you will, the fundamental cause, we say the root cause from which bodhicitta arises. Okay, if you, the way we put it in a technical language is, great compassion is the substantial cause of bodhicitta. Okay? Now I'm not making this one up here, but it's based on what Maitreya said in his ornament of Mahayana Sutras, Mahayana Sutra Alankara, and he said, basically quoted the line from memory, he said, "Te itavar nyingjirte." You should understand that the substantial or the root cause of that, meaning bodhicitta, is great compassion.
So that,
So now when we look at the bottom of all these things, you know, not hurting others, you know, benefiting others, and being unbiased to others, what we really see is that we need to learn to regard every sentient being as being precious. Okay, all sentient beings are precious in that sense, and so that we are able to, you know, look at all of them in the same way and treat all of them in the same way. Great Kadamba Geshe Lungri Thangpa, in his 8 verses, Mind Training or Lojong, Thought Transformation, very wonderful and powerful text, said, as Geshe quoted the stanza from his memory, hopefully I can reproduce it here. He said, Dani, Senjin Tamjela. I'll translate as it comes, because sometimes in the language difference might not go that way smooth anyway. It will be a little bumpy drive here. You will bear with me. Dani Senjin Tamjela. May I regard all sentient beings. The emphasis is on the all. We need to underline that. Nobody to be left out. Dani Senjin Tamjela. Yishin Nubu Lerhabe. Be able to see all of them as being more precious than a wish-fulfilling gem. Okay, more precious than a wish-fulfilling gem. Yishin Nubu Lerhabe. Tenjo Dubar Sabayi. By understanding that, by reliance upon that, seeing that in that way, that I can accomplish the greatest purpose of life, if you will. Okay? Through that understanding, may I always cherish sentient beings all the time. And so when we really look at what the great Geshe Langri Thangpa has said here, is this, that if we have a wish-fulfilling gem, right? The wish-fulfilling gem is one of those gems that whatever wishes you have, you put in, you know, before it, or you just pray to this gem, it is supposed to fulfill all your wishes. But, you know, sentient beings are more precious than a wish-fulfilling gem in the sense that if you want to be a Buddha, complete enlightened beings, then sentient beings become more precious than a gem. You cannot pray to the gem and say, okay, I want to be a Buddha, make it happen. No. It can't do that, okay? Maybe you might be able to say, I want to be rich, and then that might work. Okay? And so sentient beings are very precious, more precious than a wish-fulfilling gem, and there's nobody to be excluded. That's why the word all sentient beings is so important here, nobody to be left out. And so we need to be able to see that for me to become a Buddha, I need to rely upon each and every sentient being. If we leave out one sentient being, you know, then somehow we destroy the collectivity of sentient beings. Because now that sentient being is incomplete. You see, that collectivity is incomplete because we left that one. Because that one is so important for me to become a Buddha.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And those rembeer machine and gin rogue it was. Tan yang did some tova shavala, Nyunjipangi tava some tova shavala. Tai, Sanji same Rangrisha Gugamarina, going to be here and Risha Gugaris.
So, what I've explained so far is, you know, provided that we take complete enlightenment as our ultimate spiritual goal, and we said, okay, that's what I choose, and that's what I, you know, want to be. I want to be Buddha. Then what is involved, you know, to, you know, in the practice or cultivation to be able to get there? So I just highlighted some of the essential points here. And of course, in the that's why in the Mahayana Buddhism, or Bodhisattva's way of life, if you will, there is a presentation of the five spiritual paths. Okay, there are five of them. One, two, three, four, five. Yes, and I'm not going to go through each of them, no time. Okay. And so within these five spiritual paths, we present the 10 spiritual grounds or the levels of bodhisattvas called Dasha Bhumi in Sanskrit. So that presents the complete structure of the path from Mahayana point of view to be able to become a Buddha. Okay, so I just give you that whole holistic picture here. No time to go and talk about each of them. Now let's move on to another level. Let's say, okay, I want to be free from samsara or cyclical existence for good. Okay, that's my spiritual goal. Okay? So basically what I'm saying is that I want to be free from all the delusions that I have, all the kleshas I have, you know, so that I don't want, you know, I don't have to be in samsara anymore. If that is our spiritual goal, we call it personal nirvana, to be able to differentiate it from complete enlightened state, then what we really need to do is we must cultivate the wisdom realizing emptiness as it is. That is a must. Okay? M-U-S-T. No option. But we do not have to cultivate bodhicitta. So the development of bodhicitta is not the part of, essential part of this practice of the path. Okay? What is a must here is we need to develop insight into the ultimate nature of phenomena called emptiness.
That's the correlation. Nyundri pangpi thapa su thapa su shiyabala karayla sanata, khamsun shi nyamu pangkaris.
No. So you ask, okay, what do we really mean by need to get rid of all the delusions to be able to realize that kind of nirvana, called, let's call individual or personal nirvana? What's involved here is that we need to be able to purify our mind of all the deluded states of mind related with what we call the three realms of existence, okay, in samsara. So when we get rid of all those delusions, the way we do that is by cultivating the wisdom gone beyond, for the wisdom realizing emptiness as it is. I believe that you have heard thing before, that there are as many as 84,000 forms of delusion. Okay, just trust my math on this one. And so when we, you know, classify this 84,000 forms of delusion, then we can look at each realm of existence, the desire realm, the form realm, the formless realm, then, you know, we can find out how many delusions are associated with each of them, and there are different antidotes to counteract
those delusions. Yes.
So basically, if you look in the Buddhist literature, there's a whole explanation, presentation about what are different types of delusions, you know, associated with, let's say, the desire realm of existence, the form realm of existence, the formless realm of existence. For example, in the desire realm, we talk about, this is a technical term, you know, nine rounds of the delusions attachment. So things like that are explained, and so those are the things involved in the package called, if we could call that, delusions. In other words, what I'm trying to explain here is this, that if we want to be an arahat or arahant of Shravaka Yan, or the hearer's vehicle, or that of solitary realizer's vehicle, or Pratyeka Buddha Yan, okay, if we want to follow either of those vehicles of Buddhism and we want to be an arahat. Arahat is a Sanskrit term which, you know, in a literal translation means, this is my footnote, by the way, my first footnote, for destroyer, which means, you know, you destroy your enemy. The enemy here is delusions, basically. Okay. So in order to be an arahat of hearers and solitary realizers' vehicles, we must get rid of all the delusions. Yes.
Oh yes. That is something. And those things. That kind of tabe chibi gomba tabe chibi inanda. Ani nyundi bami tabe chibi. That the inhuala karugu is na maraso. Tabe tenjing na tabe ching chibu yes.
So we have been looking at, you know, different levels of spiritual goals that we could strive for or accomplish. We talked about a little bit about the great enlightenment or the great nirvana, which is the same as Buddhahood. And we talked about what it is and how to get there, if you will. We talked a little bit about nirvana at a different level, which is what we call personal nirvana, and how to get there. But to be able to get anywhere, any of those levels of realization or goals, what is really essential also we need to understand is to be able to find what we call, the way it is put in a Buddhist term is special life form to carry out the spiritual practice. So basically it comes back to fully endowed human form, you know, precious human life. That is key, you know, to be able to get anywhere spiritually.
Yerumbuchega, 아니 휴두기 땐 처벌진들 맞아 봐도 아니 휴두에 휴세야 그 아 대원적 숨기는다 사기 침범인 거 말했을 거 아니에요.
아 제롬부체 or 만주시리 라마송가부아 has said and Gisela quoted the lines from his memory that if we do not find this special light basis for spiritual development, which should be understood as fully endowed human form, or precious human life, we may find certain opportunity for spirituality in certain life form, but we will not be able to make a great advancement in our spiritual development. To be able to make that great advancement spiritually, then finding this special life form or the basis called fully endowed human form is a key.
That the thing you must be masang me be jola sops lam chu lam du be ten chaba ji thoba she pala that the thoya ga ani jola sop gu res ka nan do
and then the jesong ga ba allah majus lam sa ga goes on to say that okay that's what we need to do in order to make great advancement in your spiritual endeavor you have to find this special life basis and for that you must create the necessary causes and conditions because this life does not come on its own you know it is an outcome of you know necessary causes and conditions
that pare is tang ran to jil sab so and correlation digot tang mam mang bis sai ro sin de kal sin de la sai so ngam mang bta dele cham mang sai ro jeso digot rang sab digot pa me ba ta bo ma je na ate Dibati wanking is only the Mendamev Nyone, Shane, and Yong Guritessa, two to be covered at the Mikira Kabushi Yoris. Tessa, the Kunga Dushia Taki Chimichi, Hanan Yoris.
So, in a kind of a broad general sense, what does it mean? We must create the necessary causes and conditions to have the precious human alive in a form. That we must apply ourselves properly in abandoning negativities and cultivating positive actions. And so if we look at our own life, if you will, that each of us has accumulated so many negative karmas, not just in this lifetime, but accumulated over many lifetimes. So we need to purify our mind of those negativities. If we don't do that, any negative karma can precipitate our rebirth in an unfortunate state. So if we find ourselves in that unfortunate state, at least for the time being, over a great length of time, you know, you're just stuck, you know, that you can't do much. So we don't want to get there in the first place, right? So prevention is, you know, the best method. So we need to purify ourselves of negative karmas.
So kini rank any the when the messi yakoy me that the devota chivo me san tong yores yina rank Miki lesa sympathy pa kya katasan matana tikira kabucha garbas.
Yes, I think we all have you know wish for happiness. We want to be happy in this life, we want to be happy in the next lives and life after that and all that. We want all the you know things go smoothly and well. Just simply wishing, you know, to be happy, to be peaceful, to be successful is not enough. Because if we have all this negativity still remaining with us, then they are the obstacles. Yes, we want happiness, but, you know, all these negativities don't bring happiness.
And this show again to some round tangent. As you say, if you so good that Anthony Kaya to some tangent, the seventh of Mithi. Keba Marivas.
Let me give you a very kind of easy to understand example to illustrate my point. Let's say somebody wants to be rich because he or she thinks that if I become rich, boy, I'm really going to be happy. Then I can do this, I can do that, I can go there, I can go this, and all those things planned out in his or her mind. So I need to be rich. Well, what he does is like he just keep on borrowing money from people, you know, just take loan, keep on taking loan, right? Now you are just buried under debt, you know. But what you really want is I want to be rich so that I will be happy and I can do so many things, you know, I just planned out. But So your way of getting rich is just take on loan and, you know, just burying yourself under the debt. So is that a really intelligent way of becoming a rich? Really not. You know? So this is what we are talking about.
So
in the same way, we as spiritual practitioners, yes, we want to be happy. So that's why we said, okay, I want to practice spirituality. But as we get into the process, one of the things we miss is that all the negativities that we have done already, we just, you know, forget about having to purify them. Or maybe we might even add more to that, you know, either knowingly or unknowingly. We add more to the negativity, but at the same time we say, well, I'm a practitioner, and I really want to be happy, and I want to make my life better. Well, if we find ourselves in that situation, it's really going to be hard to be happy and better, because all these negativities are there in us. Of course, there is much to learn about, you know, what is negativity, what is positive in action, what are the different kinds, and what are the other factors involved in this, and all the stuff. And that might seem like overwhelming. Oh my gosh, I need to do a great length of study, and I need to understand all that. And that might sometimes be like, okay, now that's too much. Well, at the minimum, we can think that if I do something that hurts other, we need to understand that is a negativity. Okay, so in that way, we do not say do a thing that is hurtful or that hurts other, and that way we are able to stop, you know, creating negativity. So let's return to our text called A Miscellaneous Collection of Kadamba Geshe's Advices. Just to remind ourselves again of what great Adisha said to his students, and through that to us, is we should be kind, you know, develop kind, you know, kindness towards others. So as I said last time, that that's the Adisha's way of interacting and communicating with others. You know, today we say, you know, how are you? Nice to meet you. What's up? You know, you know, goodbye. Well, Adisha's way of saying is, have you been kind to others? Okay, be kind to others. You know, continue to be kind to others. You know, that's how he would address or, you know, communicate to, you know, other people who he interacts with. Great Adisha continues to advise that we must not let ourselves being distracted by what is called, now this is not going to be eloquent translation here, but I hope the commentary will make it better for you. Lope means improper objects, okay? Unsuitable or improper objects. And now what does that mean? As a matter of fact, Jerembuche states the same thing elsewhere, which means we must not get busy and be distracted, indulging or engaging in those objects which called improper objects means the objects of delusions, attachment, anger, hatred, jealousy, all that. So when we follow those objects, it's just like we are following the wrong objects. Okay? And so instead of doing that, we should try to engage our mind in Dharma, spirituality. Just reflect on Dharma. Think about it. Ponder, you know, on Dharma. Yes.
Then, chada monsi yuti ani lokpi yu chalu. Mana de chak yu, daga na yu kedan ki yu, ta datavshin. De chak yu ta jo suzi chasan kayu dije. Ma kedan ki yu datavshin. Ante mo yu ta nye ta pama kai ma yu pe. Are de nye ta data nye kai ma yu pe pama sa mesi yin. Ando sin tzu la ani pa yu. Ingi amres, kanji ta tsin zin jayal main ba shene, jawa shime tiyan le dukyus ka nang nukwa.
For example, that when we look at our experience of delusions, how does attachment arise in relation to whom? Attachment usually seems to arise in relation to those who we see as being attractive, or being close to us, a dear one. We call our friends. It's one. Friends are probably the, you know, good object of attachment. And enemies are the objects of anger or hatred, because we don't like them, you know, that kind of object. And then the strangers, who are neither friends nor enemies, these what we call are the objects of ignorance in this case. Okay. Now when we let ourselves follow those different objects, call them wrong objects or improper objects, what happens is that we get really busy. You know, just think about attachment to our friends and relatives or dear and near ones. Now how much busy that makes our life. Now there are 100 activities we involved in to be able to, you know, how should I say, under the influence of attachment, that gets reinforced. You know, so we really get distracted. We don't find much time to engage in spirituality because life is, you know, just crazy as it is under the delusions. Mm. And the same thing with the objects of anger and objects of other delusions.
Mm. That's what I'm saying. Yang teaching, Lope, you see, at the inside of beauty, around the same inside of beauty. And then, when they've been there, I said, Zoot, that, Jet, or the rejection, do the Zen Chagger. Come around some other thing, go corny, be till I keep it here. The time when they've been there, corny, till he wants to join it, till I tell you, I see at some of that, he owned Shimmer Chagger.
And we could also maybe explain and understand what we call lokpa yul, wrong objects and improper objects in relation to the five sensual objects. Visible form, sound, smell, taste, and touch. And so as we look at our life, why our life is so busy, why we go to work, why we do 100-minute things, and all of this are pretty much related to these five sensual experiences of the objects, you know. So as we get involved in the five sensual objects and chase them and, you know, get involved in 100 activities, then we know our life is very much distracted and we don't find time to cultivate our spirituality. But mind you that we are, when we talk about like don't chase the five sensual objects, don't get distracted, we are, you know, just undermining them for, you know, whatever goodness they bring. For example, for our good health, to be able to survive, you know, let's be honest, we need to eat, okay, otherwise we'll die. So yes, it's involved in eating something. That is, might have essential, you know, senses involved. But those things we need to do to be able to take care of our health and to be able to, I mean, function. And we do recognize the nutrients we derive from food and drink and all other things we need. But that's another case. You know, that doesn't mean like stop eating or stop, you know, all the stuff.
Sometimes yinda tsomalo da ane rangze xesa xesa da rangze dali yin samada shegore.
And as I explained to you before, that you know, we need to depend upon sensual objects to be able to survive and function. So eating does not necessarily mean we are feeding the delusions. Okay, proper way of eating and engaging in those can also, as a matter of fact, facilitate our spiritual development. And we already talked about that. You know, how to handle those things. Then great Adisha goes on to say that we should cultivate humility or humbleness, regard everybody else as more important than above us. Okay, nobody is below us. So when we regard ourselves as holding the lowest position that is there to hold, everybody else is given a higher seat and more important than me, then that helps us also to be less arrogant. Okay, otherwise if we think that I am the best of everybody, and I know it all, well then everybody else is down there below. I'm always looking down at others, like, okay, what the hell you know? I mean, you're just there. Look at me, kind of thing. And then that's really is very delusional in many ways. And the great Kadamba Geshe's have this wonderful thing to say, and that the holding humbleness, the lowest position, is as a source of enlightened beings. So when you really cultivate humbleness, humility, so then you become really more spiritual in some sense, that you respect others more, you appreciate others, you don't go become egomaniac, and you don't go through all those neuroses you go through, because you learn to respect others and appreciate others. So the important thing, as I often say, is we should look at ourselves more. It's not so much our job or even business to look at others. Okay, are they really humble? That's, we don't know. Okay, but we should know ourselves. Am I being humble or am I arrogant? So this is why it's important for us to look at ourselves rather than look at others, and then try to figure out whether they are the humble ones or not. Cultivating humbleness, I don't know whether that really word conveys the meaning that's in Tibetan, or humility, is very important spiritual quality to have. Otherwise, as we say, if we become arrogant and kind of act like know-it-all and can do it all kind of a person, that we might underestimate everybody else. But in others, there are many realized beings. The fact of the matter is, we don't know who is who. Okay, there are many realized beings who look exactly like any other ordinary person. And then if we happen to put them down, well, that particular negativity is very serious negativity. Okay, because in reality, these are the high, holy and realized beings, and we don't know who's who, and we don't know. There's no map to say, okay, this portion of the country has the realized being, and okay, so we will be careful here. Now, I'm just there anywhere and everywhere. So we got to be very careful, and as it is said by great Tibetan Master Gyatso Rinpoche, in a wonderful text called Thalam Seje, Clarification of the Path of to Liberation, and Geshe-la quoted that long sentence from memory, he said, we must be careful the way we look at others and treat others, because we don't know who is who, and there are many holy and realized beings. So you should walk very carefully, as if the metaphor that's given is, if there is a fire or the embers of fire covered by the ash, we don't know is how hot is down there, the fire. But rather be careful so that we don't step over it or get hurt. So if we learn to appreciate others and respect others, be less arrogant, then we avoid that whole pitfall, if you will. So that's very important. That's the part of being, a humble.
kāndu sūtān tōpi tē dāñi kuīne mēnta kānān tōwa tēn tē gyōjē kē sūmba tē tē yē kāni tā kōngan tōsi tē ñamnyo sūni kānām rāvās.
And great Kadamba Geshe Langri Thangpa, again the author of Eight Verses Mind Training said, as Geshe quoted the first two lines of the stanza, whoever I am with, may I always regard myself as lower than that person. Okay? And I think that Kadamba Geshe Langri Thangpa, really he spoke out of his experience based on the teaching like this, the Adisha's teaching, and that's something he practiced and he really experienced. So if we really care about spirituality and spiritual practice, we care about transforming ourselves, changing ourselves for better, then all these things we talk about have relevance to our everyday life, something we need to pay attention to and we need to think about. And of course, I mean, Adisha seems to use very simple and, you know, as few words as he could, but they really contain profound messages for us. For example, here he says, Panga long, just take the defeat or the loss. Okay? And so that means that, let's say, we are engaged with somebody else and there is an issue of gain and loss. So according to this, we should give the gain to the others and take the loss. Okay? And so this is the kind of teaching that really touched and moved Geshe Langri Thangpa. And then Langri Thangpa expressed this in his own way, as Geshe quoted the line from his memory, Jonga Rang Lembada, may I be able to take the loss and the defeat, you know, to or for myself, may I be able to offer the victory and the gain to others.
Okay.
We must not treat this as like some nice words to listen to, okay? Or just kind of engage in some kind of intellectual, you know, pursuit here. But these words contain profound meanings, something that we need to think about so that we can bring about inner changes within ourselves. Because these words should be used to effect positive changes within ourselves. That should be our goal, not something listened to and something to be intellectually smart.
Well, I'm the woman in there. You questions, don't the dining bar. You questions. You see at the battery. So, see, take me to look at the test seven. That take back here, which I pay a baller in the yard, sharn it, the seven sent the check your over. Tell you, you see, you must think the one.
No.
Because in the do you must say. He said, and don't say that. The huge test which have in that, the huge that.
And here, Giridhar just says, and this is a little bit, I think, hard to translate. You means, you know, we must not kind of brag about a little bit of favor we did to others. Okay, like, you know what? We remember what I did to you the other day? And what we did was a teeny-beeny thing, but now we make it a big thing. Like, really, you know, I did it, really, you know, all that. You know, the never-ending stories to tell. So as you heard Geshe-la say, probably those some of you who, you know, studying language, you know, don't just go and tell others what you did to them. Yeah, it's very nice of you, you know, you did and helped others, but don't go and recite like Om Mani Padme Hum. you know, like six syllable mantras, thousand million times. You know what? You remember the other day I helped you, and then the next day you just annoy, you know, others, just counting it like a mantra. And that's, you know, we shouldn't do that. There's no reason to do that, you know. No.
The thing though, unconditional help,
So here we are talking about, you know, the unconditional help. You know, don't even think about it. Okay, forget about talking and telling the never-ending story. But just even don't think about that. Okay, I did something to somebody, you know, nice thing. Just that's unconditional help. You know.
다이 오마데리 현재 통세다 통세야 때 구질이야 육세다 통세 육세 현재 통세다 내가 차고 마셨던 거다.
And the next adage says that we must give up our what call this great desire. So here the great desire also can be understood in terms of the aspirations, you know. When we talk about renouncing samsara or cyclical existence or the worldly activities, we're thinking about, okay, enough is enough, I just put them aside and that's it, you know. And here, if we think too much, if we have so many aspirations seeking for this life, you know, then we get involved in so many worldly activities just basically for this life only. And as spiritual practitioners, we need to learn to let go on those worldly aspirations, which also constitute desires.
No, no. That the human thing, he did the part on his membership.
No.
The same shit.
No.
Thinking and maybe. So what do you, generate?
So it is like, you know, let go your grasping and aspiration to the worldly things, but we must cultivate cultivate love and care for others. So when we talk about cultivating love or loving someone, or in a spiritual sense, you know, it is has to be a love that comes out not out of attachment. You know, we could love someone out of attachment. We are not talking about that kind of love.
No, no. But this is some shit. Ni, this is the yinda chigwe dina. Koda mosi yate 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 yong tuk mundu se te labjiya maras.
No.
Te lanki mangun duwa te tindi si jiya ma. Te shayabi na rang te sen te shorewa chimbares. Zewa te shorewa chimbares. Te sen, bena niji yina niji shorewa chimbares. Niji chimbares yaya maras.
Again, I want to emphasize this point. As we cultivate love, we need to see, you know, try to cultivate it and for everyone. Because often we do hear, or we ask and make those comments, you know what, I'm really practicing love, but he so and so, such and such, you know. No, no. Well, there is a problem, the way we are practicing it. Because now we are saying not for him or her or so and so, that means our love is a bias because somebody is getting excluded here, you know.
All that the human that if you think again, can't lie in church, which is, can't lie in self, can't see the shit. That shit in center. And then, so she end up as well, can't lie in self, church is sometimes on a chick.
And here great Adisha says that we should know our limit, meaning with regard to worldly activities and sensual pleasures. Okay, and we should be moderate in our, you know, experience of these things. We say, okay, that's enough, it's enough. I should be contented with all the things I have experienced or what I have. But when it comes to Dharma practice, it is as if we should not know any limit because it needs to be enhanced infinitely. But when it comes to worldly experiences, it's better to understand our limit. Enough is enough, and we should draw the boundary somewhere.
Okay. Pagwe Ji Yin, yigin ona ta çögün müze çok kapasite çok kapasite reis.
So tsedigma means understand your limit. The another way of saying is be contented with. You know, when we talk about you know, some of the characteristics, the qualities of you know, being a monastic thing, you know, simple living, you know, high thinking is very important. So you have to simplify your life. So that one of the ways to simplify is be contented with whatever little things you have.
Pena, reta, se gönle bir yine yatsı, dikse şuna tele, hani, cekleşe şiyatı mevcuta, cekleşe mi gör?
For example, like say, when it comes to like food and clothing, yes, if we get a simple food, we have a simple clothing, be happy with that and be contented. You know, don't go and then just wish for and think more about the better version of that food and the better clothing and, you know, the brand name and all that. So basically, like, you know, how we know people, or maybe we could be among them, that we buy so many pairs of shoes and clothes and put in the closet, and we have so many that in a year we even don't have time to wear, you know, each pair of clothes, but we have everything in the closet, you know, so it's so much accumulation, and there's no point to that. So if we have that much energy to spend, divert it to the Dharma practice. Okay, accumulate in a Dharma way, you know, accumulate the positive actions. So Dharma knows no bounds or limit. The only limit is when you become Buddha, then it's, you know, you really completed your Dharma work. Until then, there's no limit to our spiritual development. But we got to, you know the limit and the bounds of worldly experiences.
No. No more limits,
And when you look at the structure of the five paths, the last path where you accomplish everything is called path of no more learning. It literally means that there's nothing left to be learned. You have learned everything, you know it all. So when you reach that state, then, you know, you have completed your journey and, you know, then we don't need to think about any other stuff. So all of us need to, you know, keep on going until we reach that state. So we should not put limit in between until we get to the path of normal learning. So let me try to sum up some of the important points that I have you know, explained today. At the very beginning I said that the teaching comes to us, you know, from Shakyamuni Buddha through unbroken lineage transmission. And Buddha said it himself, that I have shown you the path to liberation. I have revealed the meaning of enlightenment, but your enlightenment is dependent on you, nobody else. Okay, that's really a key thing to remember. So we must get rid of the two types of mental obscuration in order to become a Buddha or reach complete enlightened state. So we must not in our mind somewhere like, okay, if I purify most of it, if I have something left, it's okay, I can still move on to Buddhahood. No, because until we drop the whole, you know, two types of mental obscuration, we can't reach there. So we cannot carry the baggage and go to the Buddhahood.
Baggage of delusions, illusions.
Yes, the baggage of delusions, the illusions. So you cannot check in those baggages to Buddhahood.
Very good, dude. That's it. Truly. That's thank you, Kiyadu.
Got it. So we have a few announcements and requests to make. Okay, let me make the request first. Many of you know and, that one of our long-time students, Duffy, she passed away very recently. and so we would like to request prayers for her. And I have names of few people who are, you know, who have health issues. Kay Richardson, Kyle Martin, Robert Driscoll. We request prayers for them. And announcements, Monday, August 28th, Keshala is giving refuge vows at 7:30. So that means that Monday there is no meditation class because he would be giving refuge vows. August 28th, 7:30 here at the monastery. Another announcement I have is we have to make photocopies of this contact information, everything in the lobby. As we have requested before, and many of you know that, so there was this you know, bill being passed in the Congress to honor His Holiness the Dalai Lama with the highest civilian honor that our country gives to anybody. It's called gold medal, congressional. And that needed two-thirds of the people, you know, the Congress members to support. And fortunately, we have reached that stage. You know, there's two-thirds already. But having said that, politics and politics, and there could be some influential members who still we need to get them into this thing. And one of the things I just want to remember is the Red China is doing their best to, you know, disrupt this one. So they are doing their best here, and so we need your help to call Congressman Hastert in Illinois. So he seems to be influential here. We need your help to call Majority Leader Boehner in Ohio, another influential guy, and so that everything will go smoothly, and His Holiness certainly deserves this. You know, he is not just a Tibetan leader, but he's an international figure and a man of peace. No, excuse me.
No, no. That answer in Jaffe.
You know, this one name here, Duffy, one of our students who passed away. But we know that, you know, every day, probably every minute, you know, many people and beings, you know, die. And so always we want to keep everybody in our mind and send our best thoughts and prayers for them. May they be able to find a good rebirth and be able to work out their own spiritual development and you know, be free from all the delusions and reach liberation. So let's pray together. Let us dedicate our merit from this morning for the flourishing of Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness throughout the universe. May His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other great and holy beings, wherever they are in any part of the universe, live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions, benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual goals. May this and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality. Last but not least, we dedicate our collective merit for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration, and may we all reach complete enlightened state quickly.
Amen.